Rav Horowitz, Pashas Bahaloscha, on the deep significance of tzitzis. On chapter 15, verse 37, and Dvarim, chapter 22, 11 and 12.
Good morning, everyone. So the Pasha of this week brings the Pasha of the Tzitzit.
It's by there.
I'm sure everyone knows. This has been adopted as the flag of Israel. We already gave some shiurim on the Mogen David, which is the flag, which we explained to have a spiritual significance of the six-sided star with the middle space, which was the shield of King David to protect him from his enemies, the enemies of Israel. So, the early pioneers of resettling the Jewish people in Eretz Israel, they knew what the tzitzit were. They said that this should continue to be this inner spirit, the menorah and the tzitzit. This is the badge of the Jewish people.
The tzitz.
What was that?
That was to make. First of all, it says holy to Hashem on it. But second of all, it's to make sure that things are always tahor in the temple. It's a safeguard to make sure that if something might have gotten contaminated, that it's still okay.
No, it's interesting, the Kohen Gadol also wore a cloak made entirely of the sky blue color. Same, the chiles. And also, the vessels of the temple were also covered with coverings of the same color.
Right. And the belt of the cone was the...
So this is therefore the color of holiness.
So why is,
can anybody tell me, why is it that the color, this color is chosen by Hashem to symbolize holiness? Why is it more holy than other colors?
And you have
an answer?
So the Gemara says that in Menachos, that it's representing not only the heavens, but also the Kisei HaKavod, the color of it.
So let me put the Gemara as follows. When we want to get a breath of fresh air, even when in a country where there's not much pressure, we try to go to a country where there's plenty of fresh air and sunlight. So, what do? We go to a place where the sky is blue. We see the blue sky. So the sages say, like this, person should look not down at the earth, because the earth, he has to look down at the earth sometimes, but he should know the earth, as far as we're concerned, is the lower level of what we see. We see the earth without any light, proper light. You see it's dark. Darkness, but also it's a necessary part of the roots of the plants, all in the earth, the animals will eat from the earth, and we also, human beings, eat from the earth. So teaching us also in the human experience, we experience the earthly world, the world which is called by the sages the animalistic world. We're all a part of it. We come to remove ourselves from it. That's where we have roots. On the other hand, there's a soul, and the soul was given as the breath of God. Who is God? Where do we see Him? We see Him if we lift ourselves up to the sky. Now, we know in modern times, obviously, with great deal of research. So, the first astronauts, a Russian, went up into the heavens. He said, I couldn't see God in the heavens. It was taught by a man, my own religious background, of the Christians and the Muslims, of all human beings, in fact, is they think God is in the heavens.
So,
can you see Him? They can't see Him, so they make an image. They can't come and say, well, my God is the God who is the highest, physically speaking. That's why they made in ancient times high monuments for different idols. First amongst them was the sun and the moon. And they made images. And they said, the sun and the moon is represented by our God.
But
we know we can't see Him.
That's the
whole point. So therefore, great man, before Mehrabah Allah, dust from the earth, is reference to his body, made dust from the earth, many minerals in the body, that will keep us living on this earth. But you will call somebody else. He said that God breathed into us the breath of life. And that's called the Nefesh Chaya, the living soul. Because the soul of man, which is about the soul of the beasts. The beasts don't have a proper soul. They have their soul, their instincts and emotions, we know. As part of their feelings, but all the feelings are connected with the desire for food, the desire for procreation, which lies in also the animal world, even so much in the vegetable world. So therefore the sages say, also what was said, God is not a pie in the sky, but God is spiritual. So that's the best thing for me to do is to quote one of the greatest scientists in centuries, Isaac Newton. And Isaac Newton, of course, he was the pride of Cambridge, of the universities all over the world. And he acted like a Christian, but they found in the last century, found all his papers and writings, and he learned Hebrew, and he studied the whole of the Tanakh, and he became a man of the Jewish religion in secret. And what does he say about science? Says like this: when I go and sit at the sea shore of an ocean and I see the enormous expanse of the ocean and the sky is reflecting the ocean, then there comes over me the feeling, since I have knowledge of the sciences, and I see that there's no way to explain them except that there's a divine creator who has created this globe and has created also the mind of man that is able to have an understanding, a relationship of a non-material manner with the creator. And this demonstration of what is previously quoted in Adam, the same of the sages, that the human being is able to get a glimpse, also supported by many astronomers, especially in modern times, where so much more is known about what goes on in all the stars and globes, and they recognize the Creator. And they say that this globe of Earth on which we live has a special power. It will be a little bit nearer the sun, burn up. It will be further from the sun, would become destroyed through ice. No human beings could live on it. It was made specially to develop the mind of man that could recognize who created him, who created his world. So sages say, that is why when we make a bracha, there's many of the mitzvahs should stand up and think who's above us. That's the idea also of a kippah. When we make kippah on our heads, and those
Some people sometimes said to me, why don't you wear a kippah? I'm not a dati, but why should I wear a kippah? I take off my kippah, on the contrary. I take off it because I've got a huge kippah. I've got the sky above me. And the sky was created by God, so it's much better. We have to put on a kippah for Yerub Shammai, which the seeing it by itself will not help unless you take the little step to recognize the truth that there is, it's the God in creation. It gives power to the mind and the soul. And the soul is greater. We say the soul stays on even after death. We're here in the world of material, but we'll be in due course at a kind of time. In some ways, which we can't understand yet because of our conception, whereby the human being will be able to be even closer to the Creator. So that's the concept of unity. And the sages say that that's why there are four stages. The first, to start with, we see the sea itself, which is on this earth, the earthly level, and then we should go up step by step. We can't get to the throne of glory in one step. The throne of glory is already such a connection with the Almighty, where you recognize, as it says in the prophet Mishaya, the earth is my footstool. When the footstool, so where is he sitting? Give me a hole. He sits on the throne. But if he's a kabod, we say, it's something spiritual. It's to have a high spiritual experience of the Bekot, on the highest level, which can only be reached by the greatest Tzaddik. So this is the stages. So you start with the sea itself on the earth, then you start with the reflection of the sky. You look at the sky, that's called Shomayim. Why it's called Shomayim? Because it's a double Shom, it's a double expression. Shom means it's there, it's not here. As the sages say, where is God? You say, God is in the Kisya HaKavod sitting on it, but it means that God is above, is Shom. That's a, you know, here goes a deep explanation, which is about this shiur, but this is the concept where you can never get this step by step. You can't get to that high level immediately, because that's only the level of prophecy. And that was the subject also of last week's shiur to some extent, of Moshe Rabbeinu's level, which is about even the level of the prophets. He's greater than all the other prophets, had a different type of relationship. He saw God in such a clear manner, spoke to him, this is something on the highest level. But I'm telling you something interesting that happened nowadays. Because we know that some of the greatest saints who've been on the earth, they're able to reach an extremely high level. And perhaps the last one who we know was at the high level, the highest level, was the Chofetz Chaim. Many people didn't know who he was, but he, of course, was a great halachic personality on the highest level, was a very big tzaddik who tried very hard to have love for everybody and to remove love, to remove hate from his own environment, and to teach people how to become lovers of all human beings through the love of Hashem, God Himself, who loves all mankind. But He chastises the people of Israel more than all the other nations, but expects us to be able to convey the message of the true absolute God, who represents absolute morality, absolute goodness, and to also practice it in life, which means you've got to consistently pursue peace. And he was one who consistently pursued peace. So that was his main concept. And in these days, when there's so much war in the world, and there's even war amongst the people of Israel, there's even danger of a civil war. So apart from all the terrible enemies we have today, which are so dangerous, civil war is also dangerous. We have to do our very best to reach that highest level. So before I continue, maybe some of you have something to comment on my messages, which are not just an ad hoc aside. Even today, in these days, has appeared in dreams to many people. I myself interviewed someone who, when he was a young boy, he went and studied under the Chofetz Chaim, but meanwhile he became a very great saint and scholar, and he had a dream when he was already 80 years old. He had a dream, Chofetz Chaim came to him, he said, these are times when all Jews must be brought into Teshuva. We've got to try and do our very best for ourselves. Teshuva is to return to God at the highest level. At the widest level, everyone should do what he can do in that manner. If he will do, everybody would help with this, then it will bring the messianic utopia, which is something which all nations wait for. So, and I remember that for Zodan, even the Mashiach of Lake Yeshiva, very great saint, and somebody like John who studied and taught the works of the Chofetz Chaim constantly, that also he was all told the same message. And more recently there are other people who have received this message who was connected with that great saint, the Chofetz Chaim. Any comments, please, or questions?
In the dream, so the Chofetz Chaim said that all, like every Jew, should do tshuva, or is it like a?
Should every Jew do? Chofetz Chaim, did he say that every Jew should do tshuva?
We should. Tshuva means to work to become a better person.
Wait, say it again, Robert.
Every person holds his knowledge, Jew and Gentile. Has to do whatever he can to become a better person, a more saintly person, a person who goes after his conscience. All human beings have some element of a conscience. The conscience is, it's called a little, it's called by the saints also, and also Jewish tradition, a little point where he can do something good for the world. But a person is born in himself with a partial knowledge, be called to his environment, be taught to do that which is good. Because that's the concept, that's where the English translation of God himself is connected with Hatov, as we say, Hatov Shimcha, we say to the world. If God, the name of God is, do good to the world. You're not put in this world just to eat or to live in order to eat. That's an animalistic concept. Yeah?
Hi, the title of the shir is Deeper Significance or Deep Significance of Tzitzis. Can you comment on the Mishnah Berurah talking about the number of knots and the number of times it's twisted and the connections and the gematrias for the name of Hashem? And also what the Gemara says in Nachos about the blue thread being woven around, and deeper meaning about that with the heavens. Thank you.
Talking about of the actual tzitzit. When I'm talking about fringes, I'm not going to speak more about fringes because that's all that we're discussing. But first I want to finish the concept of the four stages to reach the Kisa Kavod. That there's a passage, many passages in the prophets concerning future times in the world when there will be peace. And in our time, of course, the world is really almost at the highest point ever, that some way of creating peace is the only way that mankind will survive. So in the face of this, let us take comfort into what's happening today and hope. After stages, our hope that things will be better for the people of Israel, for all of mankind, we need all the time. So Zechariah is one of the prophets who speaks about this at length, because he quotes God. Thus said Hashem, Master of Legions, the fast of the fourth month, the fifth month, of the seventh, and the 10th, these are the four fasts of the year when the custom of Israel is very fast. We will be for the house of Judah for joy, for gladness, and happy festivals. What's the condition? Love, truth, and peace. But who doesn't love truth and peace? We all love it. But we want to fulfill it.
Very important as well in
we don't mislead Jews to do what the Gentiles do. The Gentiles project them in a peaceful manner. And instead of Al-Aqsa, which is the place which they have been their cry, which they have before they start killing Jews, just try and make peace with them. The other way around. Make a peace with the Muslims, a peace with the Christians. That's what, that is the way which is really dedicated by so many who follow what the Prophet said. And we're able to do it. And it says like this, that said Hashem, Master of Legions, Master of Tzavah, it will happen in those days that 10 men of all the different languages of the nations, 10 men means to be a group, but there will be 10, will take hold of the corners of the garment of the Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And that's it. The God is with the people of Israel if we will be together with God. And that's the main principle. What does this refer to? What's the corner of the garment? Which is the corner of the garment? What's called country? Big there. That's the name for what? For what's the name? For what? For the tzitzis. Corner of the garment. That's where you've got to put the tzitzis, the corner of the garment. And says that's what we say three times a day. To get the sky blue. So that sky blue is a really hint. Go put on tzitzis, that's what they mean. So it really, the Kriya Shema, we say it three times a day. Just saying it's going to think it, don't put that behind it. Describes it here. You make a minyan. A minyan is better. And you see, the non-Jews want to join in. Yeah. So they take hold of the car. So the sages say a person who keeps mitzvah tzitzis properly in his details, he will merit to have counted 70 nations times 10. Yeah, means. Which means 280 disciples. Every single Jew will take 280 disciples from all these who want to become Jews and know how to, or to become at least the name. You can be a full citizen of Israel also if you then become a Ben Noach, which observes the Noachat Kahun. Can also be a citizen of Israel. Doesn't have to become Jews. The Jews are all nations are the children of God. But he's made a universal code for all human beings with seven rules, code for mankind, and he has made a special code for the firstborn, for the ones who are to carry the message, be like the priests. The good labor of the priests to the nations of the world. And Mechel Kohanim, the Roy Kadosh, at Sinai, Hashem made a covenant with the people of Israel. We've got to keep the covenant, to be a king of the priests and a holy nation, Kili, all colors, because the whole earth belongs to me. And God wants the Jewish people to be the leaders. And bring the whole of mankind to believe in God and to live with God and only do good and only love truth and peace. So, any further questions? That was the more detailed question of the actual binding of the tzitzis. I have to give another share. There are any questions of what I've mentioned now, and then I'll bring up questions or something to do with what we're saying, which starts with your senses. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Okay, I have a different question about senses. So,
since you had a few time, would you like to make any comment?
No.
No, it's okay.
In Devarim, just before Tzitzis is given, in chapter 22, in Pasuk 10 and 11, it says, you will not plow with an ox and a donkey together, and you will not wear combined fiber with wool and linen together, shackles. And then it says, you will make Tzitzis on the four corners of your garments. So the laws of not doing Kalayim come before the laws of Tzitzis in Devarim. And we know that in the belt for the Kohen, that it's made for even the regular Kohen, it's made out of wool and linen for the regular Kohen. Can you comment on the difference between Kalayim and Tzitzis for regular use and regular people, and then specifically for the belt for the Kohenim, for why that actually is prescribed as Kalayim to wear?
So,
the law of not intermingling wool and linen is mentioned in a few places. So, following what we've been saying, what is special about wool and linen? When do you wear wool clothes? When do you wear linen clothes? Then you tell me what somebody else don't know. What keeps you warm?
Wool.
And what keeps you cool? The sun, heat.
Linen.
So, before here, this is the upper and the deepest explanation of the common aluminum. Because there's a certain Talmudic source where it says, that everything is in the hands of Hashem except fearing God, Yirat Shema. That we know, principle of freedom. Yirat Shema means conscience. That Hashem knows what we're doing, and we should do that which is good. Virtue is in doing that which is vicious or sinful. So, for this, we have in the Torah, we have positive commandments and negative prohibitions. The Torah is full of them. So you shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that, and it says commandments. And then it says, you should on your parents, you should. You are put on tzitzis. On the other hand, you are not allowed to wear tzem and fishtim together, because they're different powers. No, don't intermingle. Otherwise, don't be cold. When a person is suffering, then you've got to have a lot of compassion when he's suffering. Help him with love. Be with him like wool, not like linen. On other times, if someone's in a temper, then he's got to learn to not in his temper to go and hit other people. Tell bad stories about them. So that's one prohibition. So therefore, you've got to be cool, calm, and collected instead of being angry. Yeah? When anger starts working inside you. So this is the answer to this question, the deeper answer. That the purpose of tzitzit is to wear tzitzit or fishtim. It teaches also that it didn't keep them separate. However, the truth is that we say we learn now from tzitzit, which is one of the commandments, is not a commandment like others. In other words, is a person transgressing anything
if he doesn't wear tzitzis. He doesn't wear a four-cornered garment. Is he transgressing anything? No. Otherwise, the tzitzit is a very weak commandment. Other commandments have got no exceptions. Yeah. You must, you're not allowed to go and rob from somebody else because you shouldn't rob other people to go do charity. So I do charity. I rob everybody else. I go and build gambling stations for everybody else. I become very rich and I give it to charity. Yeah, that's not the right way.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't. It's not as bad as stealing from people, be a big bandit and use it to help the poor. You shouldn't steal it. If people are very rich, you can demand it from them in different places with certain rules. But if you earn so much money, you've got to give equal amount to charity. And that's that. These are governments who work in righteous people. In America, for example, this is of course one of the ways in which America has become a multicultural festival. It's called by the great leader, Jewish people. They call it a government which believes in loving kindness. They believe in loving kindness very much, and therefore they say a person becomes rich if you give it to charity. Make a trust, the trust which they will use for charitable purposes, then that money goes to the charities to choose, which is a justified approach. You know? So, also in Israel, it's not the same thing. It was becoming more and more possible to follow such a pattern. So, in which way is the mitzvah of tzitzit is not expressed as a direct commandment. God has only parents direct command. So, because it does not say tase, it doesn't mean tase tzitzit. Tase, didn't tase ha, did I start to say that expression? But the truth is, it's more limited. And nevertheless, we learn that if you wear tzitzis, then if you've got the right color, only you've got the right color. If, in other words, full tzitzis is good the color. You see, the color is very important because the color represents the sky. We discussed before, that's what it's important. Nevertheless, it's left to the choice. Person chooses, he puts them for on and he puts it on. It's very interesting. Some of the lost tribes in the world, they've been investigated more and more. They intermingle with the other nations. And there's some of the other nations where they keep four corner garments and put some sort of string on. So the devil says, well, that is because there's certain things were remembered by the people.
They do that in Tibet.
Huh?
Tibet does that. In Tibet they do that.
Yeah.
Tibet wears something like that.
But so the concept is that is the least one, and that's why it expresses the concept of the conscience of the person and is much greater than everything else. We have this the Ramban gives this interpretation. Zachor v'shamor v'divu lechad. We have for Shabbos, we have prohibitions of Shabbos. If you transgress them, there's a serious punishment in the time when punishment could be given. In the case of transgressing a direct prohibition, many 39 brachot, 39 types. So if you transgress them, there's a chiyuv karet, you can do b'shogeg or a sin offering. Zachor means you've got to remember it, have a good meal on Shabbat, and make a kiddush, and make everybody happy with song, good food. That's a positive sign. So we say, Zachor v'shamor b'dibur echad. It says, in the first version of the Aser of Dibur, it says, Zachor. The Zachor comes first. So, the question is asked, why do we say, principle, Aser tochav et aser? The principle, if there's a positive mitzvah, and supposed by a negative commandment, then it's able to override it. Why is that? So Ramban says, you've got in front of you that Ahava, the love of Hashem, and the love in our way of dealing with life altogether is greater than the concept of self-discipline, of Yira. Yira means you're afraid of doing something wrong. It is a part of the conscience. People don't do something wrong, but they get their conscience. But unfortunately, often our appetite gets the better of our conscience. So it's very important. So I showed here that the truth is the two are intertwined. You see that Yira and Ahava. If you divide it into a square, you put a line in the middle, now Yud Resh, Aleph Hey, that's Yira. On the other side, you have Aleph Hey, underneath the base Hey, that's Ahava. So it reads this way, and it reads also the other way. So we see the interlinking of the two that connect. And in the Chumash also, we find many verses where it says, first, the year of Hashem and then Ahava. In others, it says, Ahava Hashem and then Yira. So, which is greater? What do you say? Which is greater, Ahava or Yira?
Ahava.
Ahava is greater. But which is more punishable?
Yira.
Yeah. So, we say, that's what we say. There are two types of Yira. It's only one way of love, two types of Yira. There's a person can be it's a child can be afraid of being punished by the parents, and the child also loves his parents. See, sometimes if he misbehaves, the father has got to be strict with the child, or he spoils the child. Too much Ahava will sometimes lead to a person become take everything for granted, and he thinks, well, my parents always gave me good meal, gave plenty of money, and now without it, so maybe I'll have to do things which are wrong. So Hashem says, Kashe Yaseh Yishev Bono. Hashem gives us in life difficulties which he knows, like a father has to chastise his child to make him a mensch, because otherwise he will grow to be a spoiled child, always thinks he's going to have the best, and if he doesn't have it, gets up angry, he expresses his anger against others, and so it must even sound some harm. So the way to we can't create a spoiled generation of Jews, also non-Jews. As a result, they get nasty. So Ahava is really what you should aim for. But sometimes if you don't get full Ahava, you go Yira. So this is very interesting. It's learned out from the mitzvah of tzitzit. Because tzitzit, we say, if it's there, we say that tzitzit, if we have the right color, that means we know that it's connected with the sea, which is a reflection of divinity, then the tzitzit will achieve their purpose. But I think this is what the Rambam means when he says, that today, in our time, we no longer know which is the right color. And therefore, until
So he implied it too, that kind of prophetically prophesied level will come to the people of Israel. We just wait for that time till we find the right to Chavis. So these days, I just briefly, as I count another shir, even by the demonstration, I can demonstrate to you the two types that are suggested today, and what the tzitzit actually mean, and why some people wear don't want to wear them on the talis, they wear them on the small talis. That will need another shir, which I can't give tomorrow, but I hope to be able to give it on Thursday, if you're interested. And then we can discuss more interesting insights into Tehillot, what it means today. Because there's one way of doing this, was invented by the Rajin the Rebbe. Rebbe did scientific research in the GNC and found that we know it's got to be. It's got to come not from vegetable dye, but from dye taken from marine beings. The question is it a snail or is it a type of snake? It's a snake, snaky fish. Yeah.
I have to stop now.
The Ari shares about the deep significance of tzitzis, and the Ari explains from the Targum Yonatan that it's really tying back to the original locus between Cain and Abel. One brought an offering of pishtim, and one brought fat lambs. And this is somehow a rectification of that. Can you comment on that briefly?
Well, Cain. Cain, who had the land, and cultivated the land, he brought an offering to Hashem from the land. And Hillel brought it from the sheep, from the animal. So this is the concept by tzitzis, the same official. Tzitzis comes from the lamb, from the animal, the wool, that is his on a sack, who's able to produce wool to create garments. And he had an offering of vegetables, which came from the land. So he also the war between Sem and Fishtim. That's the interconnection, but to explain it more, I have to be in the next year of council. Very difficult for me to speak about.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Yeah.
Because we have to send you a permission.
Yeah.